My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. You see, a bondservant, he gives up his own life for the master's use. That's what Jesus did. He became a bondservant, bound by the bonds of being a servant, bound to be a servant to do the will of God. This is the attitude that Christians need to have as well. Philippians 1:21, Paul said, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Don't you remember that 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says that we've been bought at a price, that we're no longer our own, that we're to give our body and our spirit to God? Paul said the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Truly, like Jesus, we've got to have a servant attitude. A bondservant is one who is also fully devoted to doing the master's will. Are we a bondservant in the sense that we're fully committed to doing God's will? We must be. 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul said he was so committed that he died daily. Oh, no doubt, there are probably desires and passions, things Paul wanted to do. Paul said, "I die daily. I don't give in to self. I die daily for Jesus." We must have the same servant attitude today. Revelation 2:10 says it's only when we've been faithful unto death that we'll receive that great crown of life. A bondservant is someone who is also under the master's authority. He's not over the house. He is one who listens to the master and does exactly what he says. The same principle is true for us today. Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." As we think about being under the authority of Christ, we need to know that He truly is the Master. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." We have that authority today in the Bible. It is all truth. John 16:13. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. A bondservant is also one who loves the Master deeply. What made Jesus such a great servant was His love for the Father. And what will make us great selfless servants today is if we truly have a love for God. Jesus said this, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John 14:15. Remember Mark 12:30? Quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 4 through 6. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." And so we think about Jesus as that selfless servant. But we also think about Jesus and the humble, selfless nature that He had. Jesus was very humble. This is what made Jesus a person who could do the will of God. This is what made Jesus such a selfless individual, was His humility and the humble nature that He had. Notice what Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 will say about the humility of Christ. Paul teaches us this principle when he says in Philippians 2 verse 8, "And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Paul portrays the humility of Christ in a couple of very important ways. By His obedience, He humbled Himself and became obedient. John 6 and verse 38, Jesus came to do the will of the Father. This is why He would say in Matthew 26 and verse 39 in the garden, when He was praying and deeply distressed, "Not my will, but thine be done." And so humility is seen in one's ability to be obedient to God and to His will. But it's also seen in Jesus Christ in that He was obedient even to the point of death on the cross. Sometimes I don't think we understand the full impact of this death on the cross. Jesus died as a criminal in a world of lawbreakers, yet He had done nothing wrong Himself. Deuteronomy 21 verses 22 and 23 and Galatians 3 and verse 13 says that it is the curse of the cross. Jesus became a curse for us, and He underwent the curse of the cross. For cursed, the Bible says, is everyone who is hanged upon a tree. Not only did Jesus die for you and me, but He humbled Himself and became obedient to the most humiliating death you could ever imagine, the death on the cross. Jesus gave it all up, emptying Himself completely of everything that He might want to hold on to so that we could go to heaven. Now, friends, this applies directly to congregations like that in Philippi, where there are struggles and where there are problems, where there is strife and envy. People have yet to empty themselves and fully take upon themselves the mind of Christ. Where someone has to have his way, or where people are pushing for certain things, or where brethren aren't getting along together, you can come right down to it. Someone has not emptied themselves of pride, has not truly become a servant, and doesn't possess humility that Jesus wants them to possess. We could do away with many of the problems that occur in the church if we realized all that Jesus gave up, and if we were willing to give up ourselves for the cause of Christ. The Bible demands that Christians be humble in nature. It's the only way that we can please God, by being humble and by being obedient to God in every way. Revelation 22 verse 14 says, "Blessed are those who do His commandments." James 1 verse 22 says that we need to be not only hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. Saul told Samuel in 1 Samuel 15 verse 22, "Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice." And so like Christ, we need to be willing to obey God no matter what it costs us in this life, no matter what we may have to give up. If we're willing to empty ourselves and have a nature of humility, we can truly please the Father. But notice this, Jesus, because He was willing to give up so much, was eventually glorified. We see the glorious name that Christ was given because He was willing to give up and humble Himself and become as a servant. Notice Philippians chapter 2. Notice what Paul says in verses 9 through 11 about this. Paul says, "Therefore, God has also highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on the earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." As we think about Jesus and all that He gave up, although He may have given up much in this life, Jesus was greatly exalted because of that. Because of Christ's humility, He was exalted. And friends, if we have this same kind of humility, we'll be exalted in the next life, in eternity. Jesus was given a place of exaltation at the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Psalm 110 verse 1. He's seen as sitting at the right hand, the footstool of God. He's there at the very throne of God in the book of Revelation. Jesus was truly exalted to a high place because He was willing to give up. And this is the same principle that applies to us. He was given the glorious name of Savior, the Son of God, the Messiah. There would be a great recognition of that name when Paul preached the gospel in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. "All the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus whom you crucified, He's both Lord and Messiah," or Christ. And friends, there's that great confession that each and every person one day will have to make. Did you know that on this other side of this life, in eternal life, there won't be any atheist, and there won't be any agnostics, and there won't be any critics or any doubters? Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Christ, to the glory of God. One day, all people everywhere are going to bow down at the feet of Jesus, and they're going to confess, "Yep, this is the Son of God. He's truly the Savior. He's truly the Messiah." If that's the case, why not make that confession before it's too late? Some people are going to have to make that confession after the fact. Some people are going to have to make that confession, and it's not going to do them any good, because the chance to make it right will already be over. This life is our only chance to live with God for all eternity. To truly have the mind of Christ, I need to be willing to obey God in the here and now. Jesus was obedient right up to the point of death. Will we be obedient to God? Will we truly possess the mind of Christ? Paul mentions some things in the book of Philippi which are going to encourage these Christians to continue to be selfless. He says, don't be complaining and grumbling. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. He's going to say in chapter 3, you've got to seek for that prize. Look for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, the heavenly prize. He's going to teach them that it's not of themselves that their power comes. For Philippians 4 and verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you've never become a follower of Christ, why not do so today? Why not become a Christian? Nothing more, nothing less. This is the name that God has given us in this age in which we live. Acts chapter 11, verse 26, the Bible says they were called Christians first at Antioch. Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuade me to become a Christian." Peter said in 1 Peter 4:16, "If any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name." The name Christian is what gives God the glory. Are you a Christian? Have you obeyed the gospel? You can do so very simply by putting the Lord on in baptism.